All right, Gary, what are we playing this week?
Well, cool. I have got a new job. I had to get some extra money coming in.
Gotcha. You know?
And I have taken up this job as an exterminator.
Oh, okay. Nice. You get to go
innocent creatures.
Yeah, kill the wrong animals in the wrong place.
Yeah, you know, if you're the right animal in the wrong place or the wrong animal in the right place, it's time to go.
Yep.
And I brought you here because I needed a little help hiring you on as a contractor.
I mean, I didn't consent to that. I signed it. I signed the contract without reading it. I thought you just wanted my autograph. I thought you were impressed with me.
It seemed weird at the time,
but I was like, I don't want to make him mad.
It seems weird now.
I don't want to make him sad.
I appreciate not being made to be sad. Okay. So I've got this this guy, my client here. He has a pest somewhere in his yard.
John Leguizamo?
Yeah. Well, he doesn't have John Leguizamo in his yard, but my client is John Leguizamo.
Oh, okay. Yes.
So he's fallen on hard times. The Mario money has run out. Those Malbolgia checks have slowed down. Vindicator checks, I think. Actually, I can't remember. I know he's Malbolgia in that. But regardless of which, I've been using this radar system to check and see what's in his yard. And I thought, hey, you know, I didn't sign a non-competition agreement. I can use this information to actually pick an abject suffering game.
Okay.
Yeah.
So John Leguizamo is the violator.
Oh, violator. Vindicator is an alpha flight.
Yes.
I should know that. Like, anyone should know that I fucked up.
Huh. And Frank Welker provided the voice for Malbolgia. Cool.
Yeah, Frank Welker is the Malbolgia.
Yes.
Yeah. Who's the Malbolgia? Who's the Malbolgia?
Look at the real Malbolgia.
Real Malbolgia. pardon me. That was me firing up the device. Are you ready to see what the radar shows of John Leguizamo's yard?
Yeah.
Okay, let me power it up here. Look at all those tunnels.
Whoa. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my goodness.
I need to step onto some like some concrete or something. I do not feel comfortable standing.
No, this is really fucked up.
Yeah,
John Leguizamo was fucked.
Completely undermined.
He's gonna die. wait. See the little blip moving?
Wait. Oh, it's like an alien. Yeah.
Gary, what is it?
It's right behind us.
Oh, God. Okay, here, take this shotgun.
Okay. Do you want me to rack it? Should I rack it?
Rack it.
Okay.
That didn't take. Rack it a couple more times.
Okay.
Okay. I prefer the blade. So I have a bastard or a hand and a half sword here.
Okay. All
right. And I'm going to use that on whatever pops. Oh shit. It's getting away.
Wait. Oh, he's on the run. God. Shit.
Okay. It's a Hail Mary thing, but I'm going to throw my sword.
Okay. I'm just going to shoot my gun into the air.
Yeah, shoot your gun. Oh yeah. Scare it. Okay. Scare it into submission.
All right. Boom.
I got it. I got something, but you've killed John Leguizamo.
Oh no.
Yeah, you killed our nation's greatest actor.
The Screen Actors Guild is going to be angry at me for this.
Yeah, well, it's okay. We have miles of tunnel to bury him in. Apparently. Let me see you what I got with my sword. It's a mole.
Does it have a name tag?
Yeah. Monty, he's no longer on the run now.
Yeah, game computer. Uh-oh.
Oh shit. Yep. Monty on the run.
It's a video game. Okay.
Let's record this episode and then let's inform the widow.
Okay.
I am Gary Butterfield.
I'm Cole Ross.
And this is Abject Suffering, where we play interesting games that might give us something to talk about that are not necessarily bad or good.
And this week we are talking about a Commodore 64 game. I believe it's our second one in a row, called Monty on the Run. This is a patron demand from Jason.
Hey, Jason.
Yes.
Does Jason have anything to say about Monty?
No. Jason did not provide anything. And I presume that all Jason wanted us to talk about was this music.
Yeah, the music is incredible.
Yeah.
In this game. I mean, we could definitely get a type 5 out of moles or whatever.
Right.
And there's some good game fact stuff and everything. Prepare for a very abject suffering episode, I feel like. But to get the glowing, boring part out of the way, mm-hmm. the music here is really good.
Absurdly good, to the point where if you go and look up video footage of this game, mm-hmm. like the top 5 results are all just this song. It is very widely regarded as being some of the best music on the console, and you know, Commodore 64, known for its really good music. Some amazing mm-hmm. stuff is happening here. I'll put in a little bit of a snippet of it here.
So really, really good song, really fun. This is by a guy named Rob Hubbard, who for a second I got very excited because I thought he did the Skate or Die 2 music.
Oh, yeah?
But just Skate or Die 1 and Ski or Die.
Mm.
But he did do the music for The Immortal, which also has really cool music.
Oh, yeah.
That we've done for this show.
Yeah.
And quite a bit of like things in the late 80s and early 90s that make me want to go and check him out just for the soundtrack.
Oh, yeah. I want like a compilation of his stuff to see what he's done, and mostly to see what he's done with different sound cards, because I like the music in the original Skate or Die. Like, that's pretty good.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Just as an FYI for anybody who is curious, when did you guys do The Immortal? It was one of the Duck Bundles. Go take a look at that. I think it was the Duck Bundle 2. That's where we did that.
Yep. His most recent thing that has a Wikipedia link is From Bedrooms to Billions, a documentary from Gracious Films.
That doesn't sound like a good movie.
The creativity and vision of a relatively small number of individuals allowed the UK cuts off.
Oh, okay. No, probably about UK game development scene. That does sound good.
Yeah. It is about UK. It's like indie game, the movie, but for the UK.
Yes. It sounded like it was about prostitution.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
I was going to have Bedrooms to Billions.
No.
Yeah. 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 Or just somebody getting paid to sleep.
Well,
pervert. sleep studies.
Yeah. No.
So this is, I would be interested in hearing the rest of this guy's soundtrack. It's very hard for me to believe that it's quite as cool without this chip.
Yes.
Because this takes full advantage of it. It's a really cool song.
Yeah. Tons of really good, like, sampling kind of stuff going on with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is one of his most famous songs as well. We got that out of the way because that's not entertaining.
No, it's more just worth knowing. This is an entry in a series like that follows a loose story about this mascot character, Monty Mole. If that sounds like a name you've heard, it's just because it's really generic.
It's also the name of a Mario World enemy.
Oh, yeah.
And stuff. He's on the run from the authorities after his intervention in the miners' strike. So is he a fucking Pinkerton?
I don't know.
Like, is that what we're led to believe?
I mean, I think the authorities were, I think he was helping the strikes. He was helping the strikers.
Intervening in the strike makes me feel like maybe not. And he gets a lot of money.
Oh.
Like he has a bug out bag, which is a key mechanic to this game. I don't know. I think, and he's wearing a little tracksuit. I don't necessarily think that Monty Mole is a comrade. Like, I feel like Monty Mole is probably not on anyone's side.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he's a strike breaker.
Hmm.
I'll have to play the follow up. Avita Zane, Monty. Very funny.
It's where he escapes to Germany.
Yeah, and just like, things didn't go well for him there.
The fourth entry following Monty is innocent. Oh, wait, so Monty is innocent, Monty on the run, and the original was Wanted Monty Mole.
Yeah, what was he wanted for, though?
It doesn't say. It just, the cover just has him, like, walking around as a miner. He's, like, holding a lantern and a very small shovel, like a comically small shovel.
That is a horrible shovel.
Yeah.
He's Monty.
His love, Monty is innocent.
There's also Impossible and then Moly Christmas. The last being only available as a cover tape for your Sinclair.
Cool.
That's pretty cool. Monte Cristo, like, he also moonlights as Santa Claus. Like, this guy does a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Impossible is when he's a superhero.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. This guy's got a rich life.
Yeah. That ended in 1990. Rest in peace, Monty.
He's got a rich life. Much like River Phoenix.
I'm sad.
It's not sad. That's funny.
Yeah.
Monty Mole is a strike breaker who is getting taken down. And this is a pretty fun single plane screen platformer.
Yeah.
Like, it's pretty simple. It's very elementary.
Yeah, it is similar to like Manic Miner or Jet Set Willy. That's from the Wikipedia. But having played both of those, like this is a kind of game where you're just kind of going around avoiding different enemies and trying to collect little doodads so you can go forward.
Yeah, the big difference here is that the assets are enemies as well.
Yes,
like in the house, there's a really evil coffee cup you have to fight, like a real mean coffee cup.
Yeah. There's a particular enemy here that I feel like I've seen quite a bit. The big nose enemy. I feel like I've seen that like all over the place. Especially in video games of this era. I don't know.
Yeah. He looks like a little like critter, like a kind of thing that you would tape to your dashboard in the 70s.
Oh yeah.
You know, he's got that kind of like Kilroy kind of ness or something like that.
Yeah.
Like a troll kid.
Yes.
But the you're fighting bugs, you're fighting coffee cups, you're fighting troll kids and stuff, collecting money, making your way through this single screen platformer.
Yeah.
That's basically, you know, just really, really simple controls.
Yes.
There's not a lot to it.
No.
You have the jump from the Adventure Island dizzy kind of collection that like we're, you know, you're always doing the screw attack jump.
Yep. It feels pretty good though. Like it feels it has like, I don't know, there's something about platformers from this era. Where I like how fixed those jumps are. It's part of why I like Spelunky as well. It's very predictable, and everything is kind of designed around that precision.
Yeah, agreed. It is a fun, good game. Mm-hmm. Like, I kind of like this. It's in the you know, I talk about games I quit because they're too hard, games I quit because I'm bored, or games I quit because I'm out of time. And this was one I like quit because I was out of time. Like, yes. I was just like, I got everything I need to get, but I'm not going to just sit here and play this for, you know, I don't have time to get lost in this for hours or anything, but it is pretty fun.
Yeah.
The weird kind of gameplay wrinkle to this is his bug out bag.
Yeah.
Which is copy protection. It's his escape kit. Monty's escape kit.
Yeah.
Freedom kit, rather. His freedom kit.
Right. And you have to select the correct item or else you will not be able to proceed to the next level.
Yeah. And this is the beginning. It's a copy protection thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and this game got dragged by reviewers at the time for this. They were like, not into this copy protection. And I was like, do you not play video games? Like, this is just kind of what we do now. It's, you know, it's the mid-80s.
It seems pretty early for that. Maybe a little bit, you know, in terms of like copy protection schemes. You know, where you have to answer questions from the doodads. That feels more like a late 80s kind of deal.
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, I think there's like copy protection, like Wasteland and Bard's Tale and shit like that. Like on the PC, at the very least, it was very common. And this C64 is like between a console and a PC.
Yeah.
Thing kind of in general. So I am surprised that reviews dinged it as much. It also had a lot of stability issues. Dragon Magazine gave it a low score because it kept crashing. Yeah, what else is there about the game? Like, I mean, I guess, like, moles have gross faces.
Yep. There was that time on Monster My Podcast where you didn't know that star-nosed moles were a thing.
I didn't know. I found out. And they're disgusting. I don't think that Monty Mole is one of those canonically.
No.
But I've basically, like, been tying that onto every mole I think about.
Mm-hmm. Even moles on people.
Oh, yeah. They have, like, little, like, squamous little, you know, cyclopean wiggles.
Yep.
You know, pretty disgusting.
Yeah.
You know what this game actually reminds me of? Like, I'm watching it in the background just to refresh my memory. Goonies 2.
Oh, yeah.
For the NES a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of in the surrealness and the kind of, like, platforming.
Yeah.
It has, like, a little bit of Goonies 2 energy to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
More assets. Goonies 2 did feel a little bit Euro. The first-person areas accepted. Yeah.
It was a cool game. Like, that would be a fun Watch Out for Fireball someday once we had the patience to, like, know we were going to use a guide.
Oh, yeah.
And stuff. But Goonies 2 is cool.
Mm-hmm.
Like Goonies 2.
Oh, we talked about that. We did an Aptic Suffering about it.
Oh, we did.
Yeah.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah. I think it'd be cool to do.
Mm-hmm.
What else about this thing? There's a very cute on the Nintendo or the C64 wiki. there's more information about this.
Ooh, I didn't look there.
Including a really cute video someone made with their, here, let me grab it here. See what animal is, a Russian hamster, going through and crawling through things. And they put the Russian hamster to the music and then have it move in front of a background as if it is playing Monty Mole on the Run.
Yay.
It's really adorable, avoiding all the obstacles and stuff. He actually, like, it's, it looks like they're making it physically. Like, they actually made a little physical house for him.
Oh, that rules.
These backgrounds. It's really impressive. And they're moving the obstacles up and down with strings and moving them into speed, like just making them happen around the, little hamster.
Russian hamsters are adorable anyway. So
it's really cute.
Yeah.
It is, it's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So good job. Yeah. As you can hardly see, the cute fellow uses the invulnerability cheat is the is the caption here, which is pretty adorable.
Yeah.
As well. Good job, C64 Wiki.
good job, Kubar Ahlapum.
Yeah, I love you. Like, this is one of the cutest videos.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, very adorable. And before we get into digression periods, because again, standard ass abject suffering.
Right, right.
There is a little bit of game facts stuff I want to talk about on the message board.
Yeah, I wanted to hit you with that. So one of the things that really stuck out to me was this is the only successful board claiming I've ever seen.
Hmm.
Where D'Artagnan comes in and says, "I claim this board," and it only works because he says, "In the name of awesome video game music," and then yeah. a second person, Nockish, comes in and bows to the leader. Mm-hmm. I like the idea of claiming a board for a concept, and yeah. because this music is unassailable, saying like, "Well, shit, I can't contest that.
I can't challenge that. I can't fight it." Yeah, I like that. Leper Messiah XX starts the topic in 2011, boner, and then the content is him just saying boner and no one challenged that.
Yep.
So topic boner. What are your points of discussion, Leper Messiah XX? Boner. He also does dog duty and shut up.
Yes.
As other topics, and shut up, someone challenges him.
Yes.
Guawa says no.
So. So yeah, the spread of this starts mm-hmm. in early March of 2011 with boner. Dog duty happens in March 28th of 2011, and then it appears that more than a year later, mm-hmm. that is when Leper Messiah says shut up. Yeah,
yeah.
And then Guwa says no, your reign of terror is over.
Yeah, Leper Messiah. And now it's all about Leet Erican Rem 33, who is using this as a private message thing, writes to a pal of mine at DK9292, your inbox is full. Also, check out this dank remix. And there's a link for a dank remix.
Yeah.
And then DK9292 responds, goes, "My inbox isn't full. I've been warned again. I'll get back to you once dealt with."
So cryptic.
Yeah, it's so cryptic. And also, GA Metal is awesome. Another link, probably to another dank remix. Leet Erican Room 33. Oh yeah, that's a bummer. Maybe we should just use Discord or something.
Probably.
Yeah. Jesus Christ, man, it's 2018. Like, what are you doing? Did you look at the games you may also like on the right? I
want to
do all of these.
Let me take a look here.
So this Impossible is the first one, which I did not realize was in this series.
Right.
So maybe we don't have to do it.
Ooh.
Next one, Vampire's Empire, which I just like that.
You will learn to be afraid. Yeah.
CJ in the USA.
A coffee Jesus? Hey, buddy.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and I also just love the idea of like this C64 80s conception of America.
Oh, yeah.
In the bottom, something called Flimbo's Quest. What's a Flimbo?
I want to know what Flimbo's up to.
I want to know but Flimbo. Like, I need to know more about Flimbo.
Yeah.
Missing Flimbo needs Flimbo. Give me the Flimbo.
Yeah.
And wreck my soul. I want to get lost in your rock and roll.
Hey.
Like, drift away. Flimbo me.
I think I just turned Give Me the Beat Boys merge that with Trains Drops of Jupiter. Yeah. I went,
Flimbo got a lukewarm reception. It looks like he's a little mad. The little lad. The mad scientist Franz Dandruff has created a machine that draws life energy from its victim to him, extending his life indefinitely.
A lich. He's a lich.
Dandruff kidnaps Pearly, the beauty queen of Dewdrop Land, to provide his energy. Her boyfriend Flimbo sets out to save her. You just dump somebody named Flimbo. Girls, if you're out there listening to this, don't date anyone named Flimbo.
Whoa, this is an active board, but it's all about Pokemon stuff.
Yeah. You never know, man. And then Vampire's Empire does not get a Wikipedia.
What?
Sadly, but it's got a cool cover.
Yes.
With a real cartoonish old man summoning an actual scary vampire who's having a hard time getting out. It's like Moses summoning a vampire out of a coffin, and the vampire is sleepy and can't get out very well.
He just needs some help. Could give me a hand.
Really weird.
You will learn to be afraid, very afraid. Deep in the Transylvanian forest, in the depths of his underground lair, Count Dracula and his minions stir. For now, with a new vengeance, the vampires awaken. The modern world. Yeah, I know, it's just about vampires waking up.
CJ's quest. After being captured in Africa for the purposes of being put into a zoo, turbulence hits the plane transporting CJ to England, causing Elephant Antics. This is the prequel. Causing his cage to open. He grabs a nearby umbrella, leaps out of the airplane while somewhere over France. After landing, CJ realizes he'll have to make his way back home to Africa on foot. It's very sad.
Huh.
Oh. And he got two sequels. So, boy, if he keeps getting, there's like a Taken element to this. If he gets taken to America as well, like, CJ, stop getting kidnapped, my man.
Please, you just please, like, don't go anywhere alone. It would be my recommendation for you.
Don't never go to CJ. A second location with CJ.
No. I've got the video of this of Monty on the Run playing. Like, he's gotten a jetpack. He's been driving a car. This game slaps. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't get far enough to get that stuff.
No, I didn't.
I knew that the jetpack was one of the items that you have to take in your bug out bag, but when I played it, I did not realize the importance of the bug out bag.
Right. Another thing.
I need that aftermarket controller for my C64 Mini and slap this bad boy in there.
Yes.
No.
Yeah. No, I didn't load that on. I used an emulator, but this is one that I want on that Mini.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Me too.
Another thing on the message board here, we've got a very cryptic topic. We've got Chaos Mark 6, mm-hmm. who is a 10X Dragon Knight and a 3X Nightwalker. He posted three topics, the first of which is a CE topic and then parentheses TTI won't work properly. And each of these topics is just a list of image links. The only one of which I got to work was just a screenshot of something that happened on 4chan. Obviously, I did all of this in incognito because I had no idea. Something very cryptic is happening here.
Yeah, it's pretty sinister.
Yeah,
it's been a while, and all three subjects are this.
Yes.
So one of the images, the name of it. So I'm looking just at the names of them because I cannot get them to use.
Right.
Pikachu. Sees coochie demon.
No.
Guide to the internet's Velociraptor. These are like memes.
Yeah, Captain Planet, Long Cat, CSI Miami. Yeah.
Yeah. And of course Pikachu v coochie demon.
Yes.
The ultimate meme. The coochie demon.
I do not know.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of that as like if I saw that in like a dating profile like name, if I'd be like thought it was funny if I saw that on Tinder. Or if I'd be like, uh-oh, I gotta go.
Oh.
Yeah. I have a off-topic story to tell you.
Okay.
I know this is, again, standard-ass abject suffering here. We're just going through all the beats. Do we have anything else on Game Facts or anything?
Not that I saw. There was an interview, there was a review that has some pictures, but nothing really seemed that off-base. Just a fine review. They got a low score, though. Lower than I would have expected it to. But
I'm surprised.
Yeah.
I was surprised.
Nothing else notable. Good game. Like the game.
Yeah.
What's your off topic?
So yesterday, I was having a bad humanity day, like a heavy misanthropy day.
Yes.
Which happens. Like, I'm just like annoyed at people. I'm like annoyed at you know, some online interactions. I'm annoyed at things in general. I go out, I'm going to band practice. And I had what happens every once in a while where I have like the worst of Portland kind of days, because I think this is just a problem anywhere and definitely in cities, but I run into it in Portland a lot where people are like the main character of that day and they're trying to conscript me into their like as a side character to their story. So I was going to grab some beer for practice. And there's a little mini story in this as well, because I avoided going to the Plaid Pantry because, you know, I've talked about Plaid Pantry guys a lot on Everything to Guppy for people to listen to that. Mm-hmm. There's another guy in there now. Like, there's this like big harmless dork who me and Will, like, we're getting pie at one point. It's like, hey, big pie night, huh? Which is we refer to him as big pie night.
Okay.
So that guy who his name is Joshua and I like him now.
Okay.
Because there's another guy who's this like little skeezy dude who multiple times I've come into the convenience store is rapping along to his own demo CD.
Oh,
and
fun.
I know it's his own demo CD because he told me. what a nightmare, right?
Yeah.
So because I wanted to avoid him, I went to the other gas station, and then that was closer to another bus stop. So I went and sat at another bus stop, but this was a mistake.
Okay.
Because I sat there, I've got my headphones in, my six pack of beer, and I'm drinking a Gatorade Zero, just waiting for the bus. I got like 10 minutes to wait. And the guy next to me is like, I can only describe as like a Mike's Hard Lemonade vapist, you know? So like take those products and the things you associate with both those products.
Ugh.
And
okay.
Like gel them, you know,
yeah.
Into a person.
Unpleasant.
And he's doing a thing, and I don't know if you've had this experience before, but where like somebody who should definitely know better, like an adult, fidgets in your periphery until you look at them so they can talk to you. Have you ever had that fucking happen to you?
Yeah.
Adults, you shouldn't do that.
No, adults, you know what you should do? Make eye contact and say, excuse me.
Yeah, if you want to talk, or if somebody's just sitting there with their headphones in,
uh-huh.
And you got nothing important to say, yeah. You're just kind of bored.
At this point, I am assuming he has something important to say. Excuse me, you may want to take six steps to the right because a car is coming in.
Yeah. Like, I'm about to blast a vape fart. Like, I've been vaping my own special brew. It's been discredited, and it's giving me horrible gas.
Right.
I've got a horrendous number coming on the deck.
Horrendous number.
You need to get out of the way. Nothing like that. So he's just fidgeting and I'm ignoring him. And right. I already know I'm in trouble, right? Like, I'm like, if I just get up and leave, that's going to cause more, you know, issues. But I'm just ignoring him until eventually he taps me on the shoulder, which, like, you know, I'm pretty signaling because he noticed that I checked the bus time. So this gave him his in. And he's like, hey, is the bus coming soon? I'm like, just a few minutes.
Right.
And then I'm going to refer to him by his name, which I didn't learn yet. His name is Henry.
Okay.
So Henry, and then he points to the beer. He's like exactly a Tim and Eric character, like points to the beer and like, hey, man, you going to a party? You just getting drunk alone. And I was like, at this point, if I was smart, I would have made up any lie. Like or just been like, yeah, I'm going to go drink alone. My wife died or something, you know, just something like that. Like,
I'm just delivering this to some teens.
Yeah. Anything to get like disengage this man's interest.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I'm just going to go dump this in a reservoir. Like, I don't know, something to make him shut up. But I unfortunately like reflexively said, I'm going to band practice.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Oh, Gary. No. He's going to want to join the band. He started
out asking me, he's like, hey, you know, cool. What kind of music do you play?
Uh-oh.
And that's already like the best people in the world asking me that makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
This is the worst person to answer that. And then he's like, I bet you I can guess what you play. And I'm doing the voice, but that is how he talks. It's like Anthony Kiedis' son or something. And I just kind of, you know, I everything I'm responding to at this point, all my defenses have kicked in. So I'm just going, oh, yeah, that'll happen. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, uh-huh. Crazy. That's crazy, man.
Crazy. Yeah, exactly. Tons of that. It's crazy, man. You know, tons of that.
Yeah.
So he goes, drums. And I'm like, no. And, I just shake my head. And he goes, you bass. Bass is the coolest instrument. You got to admit, bass. And then I'm like, you know, nope. And he goes, keyboard. And when he does it, he mimes keyboard. And during this conversation, he's going to mime keyboard several times. And both times, he's playing a double-decker keyboard and doing cross arpeggiations. from high to low with his right hand and from low to high with his left hand.
Okay.
And this is like the international sign for keyboard to him.
Okay.
And then I nod. He's like, oh, man, that's cool, though, because keyboard can be like any instrument. And I'm like,
yeah, no, you're telling me about my instrument, buddy.
Teach me. Yeah. Teach me. And then he says, man, you ever heard a Yak Attack? And I hadn't heard Yak Attack, of course, because of course, fucking not. I've never heard of Yak Attack.
So there's a lot of music in this world.
A lot of music in this world. Yak Attack is his buddy's band. And he kept saying, dude, I think you'll like them. You've got to check out Yak
Attack.
I think you'll like
no.
buddy's band. It's actually like, I got this buddy. And I guess like a warning here for racism coming up. I got this buddy who's the main dude in the band. And like, everyone quit and everyone's like, oh man, like everyone in the band quit. And then he's like, man, I can just do it myself. He recruits some people. Everyone's like, oh man, yak, yak, man, how are you going to do it? And you know, he's like an Asian dude. He's a Korean. You know how they're like fucking geniuses. Like, he's just going to do it up, you know? And then he gets some people and he's like, and he does the miming keyboard thing.
Okay. Yeah.
The same motion again, you know, to our reverse arpeggiation things. And he's just like, but you should check him out. It's cool. And I go, cool, you know? And I put my headphones on.
It's like, are you listening to Yak Attack?
Well, less than a second later, taps my shoulder again and says, man, you gotta listen to Yak Attack. Like, you gotta listen to Yak Attack. Does the keyboard motion again. And he's just like, it's one of those Koreans, dude. And you know that they got fucking, like, they're like, got like special skills. Like, they're just like fucking savants.
What the fuck?
And then I show some discomfort, and he goes, no, man, I'm just trying to be racist. It's all right.
Did he say that? So he's like, well,
yes.
Okay.
So he's like a little, like, shitty, like, irony racist.
Yeah,
kid.
Yeah.
Then the bus comes. The bus is coming, and I'm gathering up my stuff. And it's like, yeah, I get on the bus, you know. And he's just like, oh, man, I didn't get your name. My name's Henry. What's your name? And I was like, Gary. And then he goes, and I'm clearly, like, picking up all my stuff, and he holds out his fist for a fist bump. And I'm like clearly getting my stuff together and putting in my headphones and getting my things ready. And so I hesitate for like a fraction of a fucking second to bump his fist. And he goes, it's all right, man. I wouldn't want to touch me either. And I'm like, what do I do with that? So I was like, no, I'm just getting my stuff. And I kind of like elbow him a little bit. And then he goes, ha, now you got AIDS too, bro. Just kidding. So like, I'm saying that to let you know what caliber of human.
Yeah. Like,
the bus is like 95% capacity, which is always a nightmare anyway.
Right.
I get on the bus.
Does he stand next to you?
He does, but I face the other direction. Because like, for my own sanity,
you treat him like a dog who's like who jumps up too much.
That's exactly. I'm shunning him, like 100%. Like, you would get cutting off from your source of attention, Henry. Like, yeah. Again, seat opens up. Henry immediately sits down and starts going through an incredibly similar routine with the person next to him. Like, this guy is just, and I had these like thoughts about this, and I was thinking about this, and I know the only word I've been thinking about a lot lately in relation to Twitter, the only word I can use for it, and it feels like it is too important of a word to use for this, but it's the only word that comes to mind, is in my head I'm screaming, I don't consent to this.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to be part of your bit. I don't want to be like drawn into this. I don't want this like kind of goofy, like I feel like you're making fun of me.
Yeah.
During sessions of it, like with that aid thing, I know you're like, you know, to you, you're probably just joking and stuff, but it definitely, and I'm like, I don't consent to this.
Yeah.
And that's like the only thing I could think about it.
Yeah.
With it. Like, it happens sometimes when you run into a stranger. It's the same thing with that dude singing along to his like mix CD and then telling you about his rap band out of nowhere. Like, just stop for a second and think whether anyone wants to hear your bullshit.
Yeah.
And I'm not comparing myself to women being harassed.
No.
I know it's like a thousand times worse. Like, if a woman was sitting next to Henry, there would have been like 100% a disgusting sexual overtone to it.
Yeah.
I don't think Henry wanted to have sex with me. But there would have been if I would have been a woman, I guarantee it. So it would have been way worse. I know that.
Mm-hmm.
It still sucks though. It's yes. Like Henry sucks. I'm not saying it sucks worse for me than anyone else. I'm saying let's all take a moment together how we can agree that Henry fucking sucks.
Yeah, no, you know, this more broadly gets to like one-sided interactions too.
Yeah,
like just know when to disengage, like, and
read the room.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't know, like I have attempted, so I live a much more solitary life than you do, but you know, because I do live in rural suburbia, I don't necessarily mm-hmm. have to interact with people aside from mm-hmm. like the stores that I go to, you know, where people recognize me as a regular, etc., what have you. But that's fine, because you want to interact with people in the service industry, you know, you don't want to ice them out, it's, you know, well, whatever. Mm-hmm. So I don't run into this as much as you do, but I have like taken to like, hey, man, I'm just not feeling talking right now. And then just hoping that sticks.
Will is really good at that.
Yeah.
Will will just be like, no.
Yeah.
You know, and then, like, and just do that. And I just feel I can't do that. I need to get better at it where I can do that, yeah. You know, but, and I wish I had, because there was nothing was gained from that. Like, I always, whenever I talk about this and I'm, or like something like this, and I'm like cranky about it, I think that there's probably, you know, a straw man out there who's criticizing me, who's like, man, just be open to the universe. Like, it's okay to just talk to a stranger. You know, you shouldn't have that much, like,
but this stranger, disgust. Like, it's not like, you know, it's not like you just didn't respond to him or pretended you were deaf or whatever. Like, he quickly proved himself to be not worth listening to.
To be everything.
Not like elitist, but like,
yeah, totally. Yeah. But everything I was afraid he was going to be, he was.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, I don't want to say that to discourage, like, you know, people, like, we meet strangers professionally from time to time. And like, I like, you know, like talking to people like at those things. Like, it's great. That's not what I'm talking about.
Well, I mean, like, we're there to be open, and it's people exactly, are there to seek us venue. Out. Yeah. Like the, there is a two-sided social contract that is open there, where everybody is participating to their level of comfort, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. And this is the Henrys of the world.
Right.
Saying my level of comfort is that I'm going to talk to anybody and make the same like racist, like edgelord jokes.
Right.
And just kind of be, you know, drinking a Mike's hard lemonade in public, kind of like semi inebriated shithead who like forgot his headphones at home or whatever.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm going to be. And I don't care what the world is going to be. Like, I don't care what anyone I want to talk to is going to be. Like, it's up to them. Like, they have to refuse.
Yeah. I'm going to inflict this on them.
And it's up to them. I'm going to swing my rhetorical arms about, and if you get punched, it's your fault.
Yeah.
Whereas in fact, like the better way to do it would be to like, hey, does their body language indicate that they're like open to a conversation?
Yeah.
You know, do I have a reason to talk to this person other than just that I am bored?
Yeah. And you know, just real quick, squeak, pump the brakes. There are people who are incapable of reading that or have difficulties in doing that. We're not talking about them.
This guy was not that.
Yes.
Like, this guy was not incapable of reading me.
Yeah.
He was unwilling to read me.
Kind of sounded like he took joy in making you uncomfortable.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing too. He was trying to freak out the squares, and that's why whenever this kind of thing happens, like, I feel like I'm being made fun of.
Yeah.
And I don't do it. Like, sometimes I'll be walking home sometimes, and somebody will be out drunk, and I'll just be like, "Hey, how's your night going?" And they'll just kind of shout that from somewhere, and I hate it.
No, don't enlist me. Like, I don't want to
consent to being part of your bit.
I am not in this scene. Okay.
Yeah. Exactly. Like, yeah. I am not a minor character in your life who's here to entertain you for 2 seconds because you're in public and you're drunk.
Right.
Like, I am just not here for that. And it happens. And I don't think it's a Portland thing. I feel like it's a city thing, but it probably happens a little bit more here because of the,
it's happened
positive
to me.
Parts of the culture.
It's happened to me in Cincinnati and Columbus and stuff like that. It's not just a Portland thing. Yeah.
It's the only, like, I don't think I could live in a suburb.
Right.
I think that, like, if I move anywhere, it's going to be this size city or a small town,
right.
And I could live in a small town. Like, when I envision my future, like when I'm, you know, my golden years as I approach 40, you know, I think about a smaller town possibly.
Yeah.
And this is one of, like, this is like exhibit A.
Right.
Is just a little bit less interaction with strangers, like not on my terms. Like, I just don't like having that inflicted on me.
You know, and just to build up other straw men or what have you, a response to this conversation might be another conversation, which is like, oh, it actually is a bad thing that the kind of just bubble of non-interaction that all of us have around you is so constricted, you know, possibly in some, you know, mythical past, people were more open and there was something about being in public where there was a town square and an exchange, et cetera, et cetera. We're not talking about that. That is a broad problem that only has like a little bit to do with the specifics of the problem of Henry.
Yeah.
Right. Well, like, you know, like you can say like, oh, just be open, you know, just like this is what's wrong, you know, nobody's actually talking to each other, etc., etc. No, Henry proved himself to be Henry.
Yeah. Henry was gonna Henry, and my instincts were right. Like, my instincts, I think, and the issue, you know, so the person making that argument that like, no, it's actually better to be open to this kind of stuff is like, one, that's a gamble.
Yeah.
And I prove that, like, you know, my instincts on this gamble are pretty good. You know, like I'm good at this kind of gambling. You know, mm-hmm. I tend to follow my instincts and they tend to be right. The other thing is, I think it's worth interrogating that idea that like life was just better when more people did that.
Yeah.
There's like a weird like idea, you know, this thing doesn't need batteries. Like there's a weird kind of just being opposed to progress of any type of that. Mm-hmm. And I'm not unhappier for choosing when I talk, like just talking to my friends basically and mm-hmm. some internet strangers and then strangers when I'm prepared for it.
Yeah.
That doesn't make me less happy.
Right. Right.
You know, and the idea would be like, oh no, actually does make you less happy. Like it would be better to be like this. Just, you just don't know it. Mm-hmm. That's like incredibly patronizing. Like I'm not saying you would do that. I'm not saying everyone who thinks that there's a problem with our bubble is saying that either. I'm just saying that like, no, the bubble actually works really well for me. Like if it doesn't work out well for you, I'm sorry, but like, don't tell me what will work out for me.
Yeah, it just it seems like a fallacious belief that that the quality of life for every person on earth dropped the second the Walkman was invented.
Yeah,
you know,
there's definitely people who think that. Yeah. You know, the second the cell phone came out and it's like, oh, you're addicted to your screens like now, and now you're missing stuff. Man, I didn't have a screen.
People are reading fucking newspapers back then.
Yeah, like I was still the same person I am now, you know, to a large degree pre-screen. It's not like when I was young, I was like a fucking Dharma, you know, just like walking around, you know, being a free spirit. And now all of a sudden mm-hmm. I'm two in my head. It's like, well, no, like now I, you know, keep in touch with people who I don't get to see all the time. Yeah. And I also can listen to something entertaining rather than nothing, you know, like a lot of just like sitting and just staring. You know, if I hadn't had like, you know, a podcast, like hadn't had my phone or whatever, and a Henry happened, like, fuck me, that would have been like way worse. And it's not like I would have gotten to the point where it's like, oh, me and Henry came to an understanding, actually. Like, I actually kind of dig Henry because all people are equal and all people are cool. Like, people are equal in terms of rights and stuff, but I don't think that everyone is similarly a quality human.
Yeah.
Like, Henry's kind of racist and shitty edgelord. Like, I don't have anything. At best, I have nothing in common with him. At worst, he is not like worth engaging with because there's this low level sense of him trying to make me uncomfortable and making fun of me the whole time. Like he's not operating in good faith, you know, and I'm calling out a specific person, but it is an attitude. Yeah. Like I've met many Henrys.
Yeah. Well, so, you know, and also like people who feel entitled to your attention because you happen to be sharing a space. Like, no, yeah, not necessarily the best instinct, I think.
Yeah. Nope. It is extremely important to interrogate whether you are entitled to someone's attention. You know, so anyway, that was the shitty story of Henry the jerk. You know, even if he had not said the racist stuff, it still would have sucked.
Well, no, because he was like he was trying to get you to listen to his friend's shitty band.
Yeah,
like, I don't know.
Which are on Apple Music. I looked up Yak Attack. So they're a thing. It's a real band. They autocomplete.
Good for them.
Yeah. Here's some Yak Attack for everybody. So that's Yak Attack.
Yeah, sounds fine.
That's fine. The go Yak Attack.
You know, it doesn't sound
like.
Did
you see the Korean leader? Did you see Yak, the Korean leader? You know, guy's fucking a savant.
No,
you know, how Koreans are.
Oh yeah, okay, yeah, exactly. That idea that everybody has about people from Korea. Okay.
Yeah, the famous stereotype that you're a musical prodigy.
Yeah.
So fucking A.
I can't keep all these stereotypes straight.
I know. So pretty unfortunate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to hear Yak Attack cover the theme song for Monty Mole.
Yeah, me too. I mean, it sounded like they're doing the theme song to Portlandia, like in that clip, but like, it sounds like, you know,
yeah.
I should start doing like, I never do this, but I talk about having the superpower to save states before. Uh-huh. And just like returning the energy with things I know the person is not interested in, you know, immediately just been like, oh man, Yak Attack's cool. But have you played Monty Mole on the Run? Dude, you got to check it out. You're like a mole. Like, you know how moles are all like really good at escaping and running fast.
Yeah.
Like, you know, all of them, you know, I'm just trying to be racist, dude. But yeah, like, you know how they go really fast. You got to play it. You got to play it, dude. Dude, I think you'd like it. I don't know you, but I think you would like it.
I think that's how you end up somebody's best man and planning a bachelor party that you don't want to go to.
I just continue the joke.
Yeah. When I met Henry,
I knew that he loved Monty Mole, and little did I know that he was going to date a mole and marry her. But now that I'm at this man at their wedding, when he is marrying a mole, dude, you know, moles, they're sexy, not to be stereotyped, but they love to have sex, and my man Henry is going to get get some from this star-nosed mole where he's going to stick his pecker in the fucking Squamous death hole. Mole. Like, dude, yo.
Yo, dude.
Dude, yo. Fuck that hole, dude. Yo. he did say ha-ha as well. He did the thing where you say ha-ha.
Ha-ha. Oh, yeah, no. Ha-ha. He was totally fucking with you. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. But I don't consent to it.
Nope.
I don't consent to it. Fuck that guy. You know? And, I wish that there was just, like a switch you could put on, like a light. It was just like, hey, leave me the fuck alone. You know, you're just, like, turning up. Because I was already having, like, a bad, cranky day. And just, it's like, I want to exude an energy that is, like, do not step to me right now, please. You know, for the love of all your humanity. Like, don't talk to me. Yeah. Remind me who suggested this?
Jason. Sorry, he writes it with an exclamation mark at the end of it.
I assume so. I didn't think you were just, you know, this is my new way of pronouncing things now.
Right. With emphasis, with gusto.
Yeah. So thank you, Jason. Mm-hmm. We appreciate it. Yeah. And this is a regular episode or a premium episode?
This is a regular episode.
Oh, so thanks everybody for listening. If you want to hear many of the premium episodes, what are those? If you want to hear tons of them, go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv. Give us $5 a month and you'll get a whole lot of them shits.
Yeah. And a whole bunch more. Like at that level, you also get access to our special show, Unfilmable, which is a program about Lovecraft film adaptations. In addition, if you have not heard, we did release all of the audio from Duckfest.
Yes. Yep. So you go to duckfeed.tv/duckbundle. Mm-hmm. You can pick that up. The audio quality is not up to our usual standards. We did the best we could. Mm-hmm. I think it's really fun regardless, and it goes to a good cause.
Yes. Yeah. It varies depending on the show, just depending on the mic kind of stuff. However, the Abject Suffering will be of interest because you do get to hear. So we talk about Leisure Suit Larry. Wet dreams don't dry.
It doesn't even feel good to say it.
No.
Even just saying the title is gross.
Yeah. And Gary also talks about his a recent surgery that he had.
Mm-hmm. I had a surgery.
Yeah.
And it's a fun surgery story. So, join us there. And until next time, don't get scrambled, night eggs.